about going to school. I can't wait. I hope you have breakfast for me. I hope I'm not late for the bus. I'm excited about going to school. You have the power to do that, kids. And adults, it's the same way for us. I have to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning because I have to be to work at 6 a.m. And I can be like, oh no, hit the snooze 3 or 4 times until I can't hit the snooze anymore. Oh man, I go in for 12-hour days. I don't know about the rest of you. Eric, he works, what, 10-hour days? 9, 10-hour days. The ladies up at Goodwill, I don't know what they work. Different things. And I could be like, oh no, I got to be there for 12 hours. I'm dreading this. I don't want to do it. And I drag myself in there and I'm half grumpy. And then everybody else around me is going to get grumpy because I'm grumpy. Or I can just go in and they'll say, man, what's wrong with you? You just seem so upbeat this morning. You seem so happy. Now, I don't literally tell them, amen, but it's because I have Jesus on the inside. Sometimes I might say something to them like, because I choose to be happy. It's easier to be happy than it is to be sad. And it's a well-known fact. They've done studies. I'm told this. You could probably Google it and find out that how many muscles that you use to frown versus how many muscles you use to smile. Just now we're going to practice this a little bit. So everybody smile. Pretty easy, isn't it? Now frown. It's pretty hard to frown. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Okay? So choose to be happy. And then more than that, you get it straightened out for yourself. And then you can, we're in Matthew chapter 7. You can choose to make other people happy. Choose to make another person's day a better day. And everybody we're working with, unfortunately, are not Christian people. They're not believers in Jesus. They might believe in something, but a lot of them don't believe in Jesus. But we can even help them have a happier, a better day. And I did that one day at work. And when I say not too long ago, it could have been 2 or 3 months. When you get older, I was talking to Brother Julio in the Dominican Republic one time. I don't know if Eric was on that trip. It was sort of comical, and he was still with it then pretty good. And he was telling Brother Vitellio a story, and he was telling him about this situation. And he says, well, it wasn't that awful long ago that happened. So Brother Vitellio was having trouble recalling. He says, well, exactly how long ago was it? And Brother Julio's like, and then he started to chuckle. He goes, well, it was about 30 years ago. But when you get older, 30 years ago doesn't seem that long ago. And so Brother Vitellio said, see, you were talking like it was yesterday. So you do that as you get older. It just seems like time goes so much faster when you get older. And so when I say things like it happened some time ago, I don't know when it was, but I was at work and we was in our room because we go into the break room. We have a locker in there and we put our coats and, you know, do our grumpy good mornings, and here we are. And we knew it was going to be a difficult day because when you work in healthcare, you get wind of how things are going in the facility before you even hit the floor. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. And I looked at the rest of them. I said, we've got this today. I said, we're going to have a fantastic day. There's nothing that we're going to come up against today that we can't do it together. And they were like, wow, what is wrong with you? They said, listen to you. And guess what? We had a hard day, but we had a good day. So that's not preaching. It's not in the Bible. Maybe we could get scriptures in the Bible to back that up. But the way that we live, it's all in the attitude. It's all in the attitude. It's not the power of positive thinking. That there is a doctrine out there about that. Not a biblical doctrine, but a teaching. I think it was Vincent Pearl that did that many years ago. The power of positive thinking. But just choose to be an inspiring person, a happy person. And make it your challenge. If you come across somebody that's, you know, maybe a whole bunch on the grumpy side, my goal for today is to make them smile. My goal today is to make them happy. Sometimes I think my wife has to do that with me, okay? She looks at me in the morning and thinks, oh my, is he a bear today? So I can give her that challenge. Your challenge, Sister Linda, is to make me smile before the day's done, to get me a look on the bright side of things, not the gloomy side. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at tonight for a few moments of time here. We're not in a hurry. Just hurry up and get done and get out of here. In church at 6, out at 7. And we could get too used to that. So it's only 20 to 7. So if I don't go a long time, you might be done by 7. I don't know, but we'll see. So what I've titled this tonight is How Straight. How Straight You'll understand that title in a moment when we read these two verses in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And it's talking about the straight gate. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Father, help us tonight in the name of Jesus, that we will speak the words that you would have us to speak, God, that we can have a better understanding on how straight, what were you talking about here, God? Enlighten our hearts tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. So looking at that scripture again, it was Jesus when he was teaching, and he said, enter ye in at the straight gate. So how straight is that gate to get into heaven? Now, when you look at this just on its surface, you could look at this and think, to get into heaven, you got to walk, and we all have heard this expression, that individual over there, man, they walk the straight and narrow. I mean, they walk right, they spit right, everything's just right in their life. They're walking real straight. And we like to think, some people like to think when you're reading this, that that's what it's talking about. It's a straight way. You got to walk straight. It's narrow. And it's hard to get into heaven. In another place, Jesus was talking, and he says about a rich man that it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And so Jesus coming and have given his life so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And then here he's talking about how difficult he is. But how? What kind of a difficulty is he talking about here? And then he talks about, in the same sentence here, the same verse, he said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. You've probably all seen pictures, depictions of what it's like. There's a straight, narrow highway to heaven, and the artists like to put like a cross or a golden city up at the end of it, and that's where God is. And then there's this wide highway, and it leads to destruction, and it leads to hell. And that one's full of people, and this one going up to heaven is just a narrow road. It's not very wide, and there's just a few people on it. And so we're going to break this down a little bit tonight to understand better what Jesus was talking about. And it's not necessarily in the way that I was talking about. Some people think about, and they say straight is the gate, narrow is the way. They think it's about certain things that I can't do if I'm going to go to heaven, that I have to dress a certain way, that I have to stay away from certain things, that there's things I can't do. All of that is true. There are some things that the Holy Spirit will deal in your hearts that he's not pleased that you would do some of those things. He wants you to lay some of those things aside so that you can walk closer to God. But this straight, this narrow gate we're talking about, it's not necessarily laying everything aside, and therefore it makes it straight and narrow. And we're going to understand what it is. So in verse 13, it's a narrow gate. And in verse 14, how narrow is this gate that it's talking about? Verse 14 said, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. How narrow is this gate? This gate is difficult and it's confined. But what is this gate that Jesus was talking about? Is he talking about the things that you must do so that you can get to heaven? There's a lot of people that like to think that way. Even amongst Pentecostal circles, they think there's certain things that you have to do other than your salvation if you're going to get into heaven. They make it a real difficult and a confined way. But Jesus himself, in verse 14, if we look at this closely, he was saying it's a difficult way for many people, and it's a confined way. But what was he talking about? And to reach eternal life, one must enter the narrow gate. And what is the narrow gate? I'm going to give you the answer right now. The narrow gate, the narrow way to heaven, is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And by the work that he did on Calvary, that's the narrow gate. It's not a broad gate. And I have some statistics and things written down here. I'll eventually get to them. That narrow gate isn't necessarily, I can't do this and I can't do that. That narrow gate to get into heaven that Jesus was talking about, he was talking about himself. If another tries to get in another way, Jesus said they're a thief and they're a robber. If you're going to get into heaven, you have to come in the narrow way. You have to come in the Jesus way. Jesus said in John 14:6, he made it all inclusive. And that's what upsets so many people in the world and the society that we're living today, because in Christianity, we, with the authority of God's word, we are able to say we are in the right way. We are in the correct way. We are in the only way that you can get into heaven. There's no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved but by that name of Jesus. And in John 14, 6, Jesus said, and I'm just repeating, and I might not repeat it just perfectly, but Jesus said, speaking of himself, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes on to the Father but by me. So to get to the Father, to get to heaven, you got to go through Jesus. That makes Christianity in Jesus, it's all-inclusive. It's just through him. There is no other way to get to heaven. There are people trying to get to heaven many ways. And that's the Broadway that he was talking about. And there's many that go on the Broadway. And when you get into the straight way, which you go through Jesus, that's going to include what this written word says. This word here, you may have heard this expression before. We don't use it too much anymore. I'm going to be taking a long trip in the month of June. And you know what? I'm not taking an atlas with me. I'm not taking a map with me. Because back in the day, everybody had to have a map. You almost had to have a magnifying glass. I got an atlas at home. I look at that thing, and the way my vision is right now, even with corrective lenses, I can't read that thing. It's just like a bunch of mumble jumble there. And so when we're getting back to maps, the Bible is looked at as a roadmap to heaven. This shows you the only way to get to heaven. There's no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved but by that name of Jesus. And then there's teachings throughout the scripture. It's the principle of the scripture that Jesus taught. If you're going to get to heaven, you've got to go the way that I said. You need to do the things that I said. Because he said, when I speak, Jesus says, whenever I'm speaking, I'm not, and he didn't say it this way, but I'll say it this way. We'll understand it maybe a little bit better. Jesus never said, I'm just speaking off the top of my head. This is just how I think it is that you're going to get to heaven. This is what you need to do. Jesus at one time said, the words that I speak, my Father tells me to speak them. I don't say nothing of myself, but the Father, and I'm breaking it down so we can understand it a little bit better, he gives me the permission to say the things that I'm saying. And so you can count it correct and right, the words that Jesus said when you read your Bible and you have it in the New Testament, and if you have what they call a red letter edition, those are the words of Jesus in red, and those are the words of spirit, and they are the words of life. That's how you're going to be able to get into heaven. Not discrediting all the words that are in black, not discrediting all the writings of Paul. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. There's a lot of deep teaching in the New Testament that was written by Paul that talks about fruits of the Spirit, talks about the works of the flesh. It talks a lot about salvation in the book of Hebrews, because that was inspired by God too. That was God breathed through another man, which it wasn't Jesus, but it was God, the Holy Spirit, that God breathed it into Paul, and he wrote, and other ones that wrote different books of the Bible. They just didn't decide off the top of their head. Paul didn't decide, this is what I think the works of the flesh are, and he wrote them down, and this is what the fruit of the Spirit is, and he wrote them down. It was God breathed into him. God spoke into his spirit, and then he wrote it down, and so we have that way to get into heaven. And that upsets a lot of people today in the world that we're living. Because when it comes to Christianity, they want everybody to have open arms. And if you haven't heard the expression, people will say this, there are many roads that lead to heaven. That is a lie from the pit of hell. There are not many roads that lead to heaven. The only road that's going to get you to heaven is the road through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross. We just celebrated Easter here a couple of weeks ago because of that redemptive work that he done. That's the only way that you're going to get to heaven. You can do good works. You can believe what you want to believe. And I was astounded when I was studying for this a little bit. And there's about 19 to 20 different major religions out there other than Christianity that have different ideas and concepts in how you're going to get to heaven. There's some religions out there that don't even really believe that there's an afterlife. They don't believe that there's an afterlife. But Jesus talked about that. We know that there's an afterlife. And so Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is the gate. He is the way. So that makes it narrow. And it said, few there will be that find it. Look at the churches today. And a lot, and when I say churches, I don't really mean to include all of them, but I'm going to say churches that are preaching the truth of God's word and what thus saith the Lord, their attendance isn't great. And if you'll remember, in our convention, Brother Miller that came and spoke to us from Cincinnati, Ohio, I have never been out to his church, but my understanding is it's a large facility that they have there. And if I recall right, and when he told us that he has a good ministry, he has anointed preaching and singing, if you were privileged to get over there, I'm sure you enjoyed it. But he said that they run about 80 people in their church there. And I think it can maybe hold 200 or more. And so they're in an area where there's thousands of people in the Cincinnati area. Cincinnati, Ohio is a big city, but there's very few people that want to hear the truth. And we've been teaching that some here, and we've been preaching that some here. People don't want to hear the truth. They want their ears tickled. They want somebody to say to them, it doesn't matter what you're doing. God understands. And he's a God of mercy and a God of love. And just the same, he died for you, and you'll be okay. You'll get to heaven. They don't talk about there being any separation from the world and the church, and there is a definite separation, because the world is darkness and the church is light. And so there's going to be a distinction between the church and the world. People don't want to hear that. They just want to hear that God is love and come as you are. And there's many ways to get to heaven. And when we get there, we're just going to be one big happy family. That is the broad way that Jesus was talking about. And Jesus said that broad way is going to lead to destruction. And many, the majority of the people in this world, by what Jesus taught right here, and it's safe to say this, the majority of this people in the world that we're living in right now today are not born again believers. The majority of them are on their way to hell. They're going to split hell wide open. And the minority, the few, there's a few of us that are on our way to heaven. And so my question to you tonight, and we need to take this seriously and think about it, just because we're in a church, and I believe we do, that speaks the truth and we preach the truth, we can somehow feel justified because we go to a church like that. Well, my church believes it this way. My church believes it that way, and that somehow justifies it for me. But it comes down to a personal relationship with God. How is it that you believe it? Do you believe what the Word of God says? Or do you believe what man's theology and man's doctrine say? How that God's this God of love and he just wants us to include everybody. And God doesn't exclude anybody. And I'll say this, God doesn't exclude anybody. A person excludes themselves by not submitting to what God wants. We exclude ourselves. Amen. We can look back through the Old Testament. Their travelings of the children of Israel through that land and that wilderness that they were in. They excluded themselves from God's blessings because they chose to go in another direction. And there's people doing that today, and they want to think that they have God's blessings. In John, I'm turning over there now, John chapter 6 and verse 44, Jesus said something here that's really powerful. In John 6:44, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, you need to read more to figure out all he's talking about here. Remember not among yourselves, no man, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day. You just can't come waltzing into Jesus anytime you want. The sinner out there on the street just can't one of these days decide, I'm going to go down to the revival center and I'm going to become a Christian. They can't decide, I'm tired of living this way. I'm going to live a different way now. People try that kind of thing. They do self-help programs, and they can live a pretty good life for a while, but they usually have relapses back into the thing that they're trying to break free from, because Jesus said here, and this is the word of God, no man can come to me, meaning no man can come to Jesus. If you're saved tonight, you need to thank God for that. Because, why do you need to thank God for that? Because we can read this, the Father hath sent me, has drawn you unto Jesus. The Father God in heaven has drawn you to Jesus. The Spirit has drawn you to Jesus. And so when somebody comes in and gives their heart to God, there's already has been for a while a spiritual awakening and something going on in their heart and in their soul. It's the Spirit of God that draws them in. And that's why we need to be attentive to the Spirit of God. I believe the Spirit of God is moving in from place to place and house to house in Kane, PA. And he's wooing people's hearts and he's speaking to them and he's drawing them in. And we just need to be at the right place at the right time and say the right word to them, and they will accept Jesus as their Savior. They'll be blood bought. They'll be born again. But no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. We have to be drawn into the kingdom of God. And so your salvation tonight, you need to thank God for that. You were drawn into the kingdom of God by the Spirit of God. We need to thank God for that. We need to be grateful for that. Amen. There's a song we sing, called out. I've been called out. I've chosen. I've been called out for a purpose. We've been called out. God called you out because there's something special that he wants to do in your life. And he wants you to have a good effect upon others. Amen. So God will cause men to find the way. It's the work of the Father that does that. And we have examples of that in the New Testament. I think of the conversion of Saul, who after he was converted, his name was changed to Paul. It was the Spirit that drew him. Your conversion probably wasn't like his. He was persecuting the Christian church. He was a Jewish man. He didn't like this new Christian religion. He was persecuting them. He was getting legal papers. He was seeing many of them to their death. He was seeing many of them be put in prison because of their religious beliefs, and he was just going to have it that way. But the Spirit drew him, and he was on his way to Damascus. And it wasn't for a good reason that he was going down to Damascus. He was going to see to the persecution of more of the followers of Jesus. But suddenly, the way that the Spirit drew him, there was a mighty light that shone out of heaven, and it showed up on him, and the horse or the donkey that he was riding upon, that light was so bright, it knocked him right off of that donkey, onto the flat of his back, onto the ground. And then there was a voice from heaven that questioned him, and that light was so bright that when he got up and got his bearings, and there was other people with him, because he traveled with an entourage of people. He was an important guy. He was a well-educated man. But when Paul went to stand up, he was blind. Physically blind. He couldn't see. He was not able to see. They had to lead him about. And the Spirit spoke to him and told him to go into this town. Go down to this street called Straight. And you're going to find a man there. And he is going to pray for you. And your sight is going to be returned to you. But if you think about the whole story, when he went down there, that man knew about this man, Paul. And here comes Paul knocking on his door. He was probably shaking in his shoes. His knees were probably turning to rubber. He probably thought, I'm going to be the next one that's going to be executed. But the Spirit spoke through him, and he opened up to Paul. But the point that I'm making tonight, the Spirit of God drew Paul in. And we maybe didn't have, and we use this expression, have you had that Damascus Road experience? You're just bebopping through life doing your own thing. And then all of a sudden, there's something that happens that causes you to turn into the spiritual person. All of a sudden, you have this encounter with God like you've never experienced in your life. Even though prior to that, you may have said things slanderous against God. You doubted whether there was a God. But then you had the experience that you had. Then your life was changed. Amen. That experience. And I don't want to reiterate the whole story tonight. I've told it enough times, and I'll just remind you of it. Think about the conversion of Pastor Eastman, who was the pastor in this church here, I think, for 62 years or something. And I get mixed up on how long it was. Huh? 58 years. He was the pastor of this church here. He had an encounter with God. Because he sort of challenged God. He was in a low place in his life. And I don't know how your conversion came about. And you better make sure that you had a conversion. And he was in a bad place in his life, a low place in his life. No doings of his own. It was just an unfortunate circumstance and things that had happened. And he said either words similar to what I'm saying here, maybe not exactly. God, if there's a God in heaven, hear me now. Or if there's a God in heaven, help me now. And then he went to sleep. And when he woke up in the morning, and he got in his car, and he didn't know where he was going to go because he was 16 years old. He had to decide where he was going to go live, what he was going to do. And just at the moment he's about ready to start his car up, somebody pulled in behind him and said, "Say, where are you headed, friend?" And he says, "I don't know where I'm going." And the other friend said to him, "Hey, I'm going to church. Why don't you follow me to church?" And Pastor Eastman followed him to church and converted his life to Christ that day. And he's never looked back since. He had a conversion because the Spirit of God drew him in and brought him in. That's why it's hard for people. If they're not ready for this salvation experience, they can't understand it. They doubt it. They even doubt the existence of God because they haven't had an encounter with God. But once Paul had an encounter with God, there was no looking back. He became a firebrand for the Lord. In those scriptures that I read this morning, all the persecution and suffering that he went through, it's unreal. One person shouldn't have to go through that much in a lifetime. But he did. And there was no looking back. When Pastor Eastman was converted, there was no looking back. Not to say he wasn't tempted perhaps from time to time to throw in the towel and to doubt this whole experience, but it was such an experience. Amen. That we can sing that song. And Paul could have sang it. Pastor Eastman could have sang it. And you should be able to sing it. And there should be some feeling with it. What song am I talking about? Oh, my God is real. He's very real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and he's made me whole. Oh, his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. We should all be able to sing that. There should be some feeling with it because we know that we've had this experience with God. Turning over to Ephesians, amen, understanding this salvation experience that we have. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, amen, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 and 9. So we already have it established. No man can come on to Jesus except the step God draws him, the Spirit draws him. And then there's another serious, sober scripture in the Bible. Some will say, well, you're taking it out of context. It worked in the Old Testament. It works in the New Testament. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. God's Spirit won't always deal with man. That's why we need to realize, you have, and I believe you've given your heart, the ones of us that are here tonight. That's why people need to realize, today is the day of salvation. Today, salvation has come to your house. It's time for you to move today because God's dealing with you today. And guess what? God's Spirit won't always strive and deal with man. He'll do it so much, people are either going to accept or reject. There was one in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, and I forget his name right now, but he was so close to accepting the Lord. And he even said to Paul, and so the Spirit was drawing this man because he said, "Paul, Paul, thou hast almost persuaded me to be a Christian. You've almost persuaded me. I'm right there on the edge of being this Christian, but I just need to think about it for a little bit." And he moved on. And there's nothing else ever recorded in Acts that man ever came and accepted Christ as his Savior and had a glorious conversion in his life. And so we need to keep that in mind. Amen. Today's the day of salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You are saved by God's grace, not by what you do. If you're going to be saved by what you do,
that's a broad way.
Just do good works. And when you get to heaven, or when you come to the end of life, when you come to the end of life, and this teaching's out there, if you've done more good than you've done evil, you're in heaven. No, that's the broad way. That's the way the world wants to think. But Jesus said, you have to come to heaven through me. I am the only way into heaven. I am the gateway to heaven. come through me. And so we read this again. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. And we can't do anything to earn our salvation. You could sell everything that you have. You could take all of that money. You could come and give it to the church. That still isn't going to get you into heaven. You could take and sell everything you have, and you could take that money and give it into missions, or you could go and help the poor. You could do very charitable things with it. That's still not going to get you into heaven. It's by the grace of God, amen, that he accepts us into heaven. And it's a gift of God, amen. That gift of God is Jesus Christ's salvation, and not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's gift, obtained only by grace, not by works, because if it's by works, we can boast. Well, I did this, and I did that, and I gave this much, and I said this, and I gave this many tracts out, and, you know, I really let my light shine for Jesus. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I mowed my neighbor's lawn. I helped older people. I take them for their doctor's appointments. I'll go grocery shopping for them. There's so many good, kind things that we can do. That's the broad way. That's not going to get you into heaven. It's good to do things like that, but that is not your salvation. And there's a lot of people that fall into the trap thinking that that is their salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Amen. I'm working you out a little bit here in the scripture tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Who hath saved us? It says that. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling? Not according to our works. So who has called us? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world begun. God knew that you would be here on April 30th, 2023 at this little corner in Kane, PA, at the Kane Revival Center, and he knew that you would have accepted him by this time in your life, because God knows all things. And it says, who hath saved us? It's Jesus that saved us. Amen. It's Jesus that saved you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He chose you, and then you accepted his invitation. He accepted his invitation. It's not just out of a random act. Hey, I'm going to become a Christian. There's people that do that. They'll go and they'll say words. And then that's where you get into that broad way. That's where confusion comes in. And they'll say, I believe in Jesus. I've accepted him as my Savior. But there's been no repentance. There's been no change. Amen. There's that song we sing, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. There's a transformation that happens. There's a difference that happens when you accept Jesus and he comes and lives on the inside. There's going to be a definite change in your life. But people that are going in that broad way say that they believe in Jesus, say that they have accepted him, and there's absolutely no change whatsoever in their life. That's the broad way. They do things that are contrary to the teachings of Jesus, and they think they're okay because they simply believe in Jesus. They believe in his existence, but that's not enough. You have to accept that redemptive work that he has done for you. Amen. And so it's God's gift, and it's only obtained by grace. 2 Timothy 1:9. I just read that. It's not by our works, but it's by his purpose and his grace. God saved you for a purpose. What's your purpose in life? What's your reason in life? And there's many people that don't serve God. They don't know their purpose. They don't know their reason in life. They think they're just here now. They think we're like animals. When it's all said and done, we're just going back to the ground. And we just took up some room and time and we were here upon this earth and it's all over. But we know better than that. God teaches us better than that. The broad is the way. John chapter 10. They've been talking about this. We can't neglect John chapter 10 and what Jesus had to say. John chapter 10, to know that you're in the right way. John chapter 10, we're going to look at the first 10 verses here, where Jesus talks about him being the good shepherd. Broad is the way. The majority are going in a certain direction. The majority is not always right. It's easier to follow the majority. Because if you're not following the majority, then you're going to go against them. And that's not always easy to do. You have to follow Jesus. Amen. Take this whole world. We sing that. But give me Jesus. Take this whole world. But give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world. But give me Jesus. I won't turn back and go in that broad way. And I won't turn back. I'm going to go in that straight and narrow way. I'm going to go through the Jesus way. I'm going to do it the way Jesus wants it, the way he said it has to be. And he talks more about that right here in John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. They're climbing up some other way. They're getting into heaven another way. They're a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Pastor Eastman experienced this firsthand, literally a shepherd's dealing with sheep. He visited Israel many years ago, and in the early morning, the guy that was with them wanted them to go out to where the sheep farmers, and at the end of the day, during the day, they take their sheep out, and they let them graze all over the place. Then at night, they bring them in, and they put them into a sheepfold. It's like a big crowd. All of the sheep are in there, and there's many shepherds that have sheep in there. And Pastor Eastman experienced this. Amen. This is how we can know the voice of God. And Pastor Eastman experienced this, and he thought, how is that shepherd going to be able to find his sheep? And the guy was talking to him, and he said, you watch this. And a shepherd would go up, and I don't think he called them all by name. This is intriguing. But he would call for his sheep. And out of the hundreds or thousands of sheep that were there, that shepherd that called for his sheep, only his sheep would come out. And then he would take off with his sheep and head up over the hill. And then another shepherd would come up to the gate of the sheepfold. He would call for his sheep. And then another bunch of sheep would come out, and they would follow their shepherd in another direction. And that's the way it is with God. My sheep hear my voice. We hear the voice of God. How can we say we don't know the way to heaven? Jesus lives on the inside of us, and he speaks to us, and we know his voice, and he knows us by name. The Bible says the very hairs of your head are numbered. He cares very deeply about you. He knows everything that's going on in your life tonight. In fact, he knows what you're thinking right now. He knows if you're listening to what's being said, or he knows if you're thinking about the pizza you're going to eat when you get home. If that's what you're going to eat, then you probably won't sleep very well. Okay, God knows those things. My sheep know my voice. And it says, and a stranger will they not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they didn't understand what things they were which he spake unto them. And then Jesus broke it down to them, and it breaks it down to us in verse 7. Jesus said, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He is that narrow way. It's only through Jesus. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. We don't hear the voice of another. If we're following Jesus, we don't hear the voice of the devil. We don't hear the voice of false doctrine. It just doesn't ring right in our ears. And as the sheep hear, what they would do, they would flee from a stranger, for they didn't know the voice of strangers. We need to have that gift of discernment within us, and I believe that we do if we learn to follow the Spirit of God that's within us. And when there's a voice, when there's a strange doctrine that comes out, you're going to flee from it. You might not know exactly everything that's wrong with it, but it doesn't sound right. Just like that sheep would know, that's not the voice of my master. I'm not going to follow him. Amen. In our walk with God, we can know. And even if they're standing up in church and saying, thus saith the Lord, this is the way that God wants us to go, you're going to know down in your deep, the depths of your heart and soul, something's not right here. Something's amiss. And there needs to be more people that stand up for Jesus like that. Amen. It says, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, Jesus said. He's that door. He's that narrow door. By me, if any man enter in, here we go, he shall be saved. If you enter in by me, if you enter in by Jesus, you will be saved. That's the words of Jesus. And shall go in and out and find pasture. And I'm adding this in. And find pasture for his soul. Jesus cares about us. He made it easy. So today, there's people that believe. People that believe there are many ways to eternal life in heaven. There are so many religions out there. And I was looking some of them up. And I'm not going to name them because it's overwhelming. Maybe we'll do a Bible study on it sometime. what other ones believe. But there's 19 to 20 other ways to get to heaven that's taught in this world today. And in some of them religions, there are millions of people that are following it. That's the broad way. They're not choosing Jesus. Jesus is all inclusive. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? No man can get to heaven, and I'm rephrasing a little bit, can come to the Father but by me. There's no other way to do it. And most believe that hard work and wisdom lead to fulfillment. It'll lead to a unity with God. They believe hard work and wisdom can do that. And we can go down through and talk about the different religions, but we're not going to do that tonight. Amen. We are going to believe God. Whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Sister Judy, amen, you can come down, amen, to some music tonight. And we're going to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no